our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms, he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Amen. Good evening. Good to have everyone back again tonight. We had a great one last night. We had a great one the night before and a great one the night before that. And I was thinking today, I'm excited to see, I can't wait to see what God's going to do tonight. But then I got thinking, it's not just what he wants to do, it's about what we want to do. You know, we've got to be willing to be in God's will. You know, God's will be done, but we have to be willing to do it also. And we have to be willing to do what he, and to be obedient, do what he would have us say and do. And we want you to be free tonight. That's the key that makes this thing great, is being free and allowing the Lord to freely use us, whether it's breaking out in a song, whether it's shouting, whether it's holding your hand up, whatever it is, feel free tonight, because you're not going to disappoint anybody. You're just going to bless people. You're just going to bless people. Just wanted to read a little bit, one scripture here, and it was the two people after Christ had been crucified, and they were on the road to Emmaus, and they had a chance encounter. Well, not a chance encounter, but they had an encounter with the risen Christ, and they didn't know who he was. And this is one of Charlie's favorites, one of my favorites also. But after they had talked to him for a long time, after they had spoken with him and they didn't know who he was, it finally dawned on them who it was. And they were excited because that was the third day after he was buried. And they had heard news earlier in the day that he had risen, but they were still sad. You see, they heard the news, but they were still sad. You see, what Paul said the other night was, in order to get the promise, you have to have what? Faith. They didn't have the faith yet. They had heard that he had risen, but the faith just wasn't there. But after they had been talking to him, and after he revealed himself to them, in verse 32, this is what I want to say tonight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? How do you know when God's talking to you? Your heart will burn within you. You will feel the need to stand up, and you'll feel the need to do what he would have you do. It's the Lord talking to you. A lot of times it might not be what you want to do, but it's what you need to do in order to get a blessing and give everyone else a blessing. So tonight, if your heart burns within you, if the Lord gives you something, then you give it to us. You give it to us so that people can be touched and people can come to the Lord. We've had people come to the altar and get what they needed by humbling themselves and letting God lift them up. And we want to do that tonight. We want you to know that the altar is open and you can come and you can give whatever it is you need to give and hand it over to him so that he can take care of it. So do we have any testimonies tonight? Anybody need to say anything? God put something on your heart. Anybody at all tonight? It's a good place. We look forward to hearing 11th hour and look forward to hearing Jacob Parsons. Got to hear his dad last night, and I know that Tim's proud of him, and I know that each and every one of us are proud of him. So we're looking forward to that. But anybody have a word tonight? All right. If not, 11th hour, come on up.
This first song we're going to do is called Open the Eyes. A lot of you all know this song. You know, feel free to sing along. Feel free to stand up, whatever you feel like doing. And I know all of us up here would much rather, you know, stop what we're doing to hear a testimony, or if you need to come to the altar at any time. I know that's how we all feel. And so just follow the Lord tonight.
All right, don't get lazy on us.
Open the eyes of my heart, boy. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
To see you tonight. Come on, get him up there.
Holy, 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 I want to see you. I want to
sing it with
see
us. Holy, holy.
You.
Ready? Here we go.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. I want to see you.
I was reading a book by C.S. Lewis, and it's called The Screwtape Letters. I don't know if any of you all have heard of it, but it's kind of like the devil's writing his nephew, and his nephew is working on a Christian, trying to get them back towards the devil. And I know a lot of times, you know, the Lord will put it on my heart to stand up and say something, or maybe to go to the altar just to pray about something. I'll be like, you know, I can do that right here. I can sit here and do it. But it's the action, I think, that brings about more faith and that just helps you along. And at the book, the way he put it, I don't think I can get it word for word or get it right. But he was saying that, you know, the more feeling that you have without acting, the less that you'll do. And then in turn, the less you will be able to feel anymore because you won't act on it. And then soon enough, you know, you won't feel it anymore. So if you have a testimony, if you need to do anything tonight, you know, keep that in mind, because sometimes, you know, it's not these big sins that might bring you down. It's just, you know, hushing the Lord off. That's a sin. If God tells you to do something and you don't do it, that's disobedience. So, you know, if the Lord tells you to do something tonight, feel free.
Amen.
Enough strength to live for today, so I never I'm in a war, but not of this world. You are the light that's beautiful. Not one more, I want all that's yours. Joy unspeakable, it won't go away, and it's just enough strength to live for today, so I never have to worry what tomorrow will bring, cause my faith is on solid rock. I'm counting on God. I'm counting on, I'm counting on God. A mystery that sets me free. I'm nothing like I used to be. So open up your eyes, you'll see. It's a miracle of Christ in me. It's a mystery that sets me free. I'm nothing like I used to be. So open up your eyes. Go away, and it's just enough strength to live for today, so I never have to worry what tomorrow will bring, cause my faith is on solid rock. I'm counting on God. I'm counting on, I'm counting on God. I'm counting on, I'm counting on God. I'm counting on.
I'll say real quickly, not too long ago, a good friend of mine and myself, Kip, were at a McDonald's. Yeah, I'll say good friend. We were at McDonald's, and we were ordering something to eat, and there was a young lady at the register, and I think Kip ordered, or I ordered first, and then Kip got ready to order, and she said, that'll be $3.16. Kip said, oh, you mean John 3:16? She said, what's that? Kip said, are you kidding me? She said, no, sir. I don't know what that means. I said, you've never heard John 3:16? She said, no. Kip said, you want to hear it? She said, well, I don't know what it means. I said, you've never heard, for God so loved the world, and Kip went, that he gave his only begotten son. She said, I've never heard that. I said, look it up. Yeah. That's all I told her. I said, look it up. It means something. So
she's heard it now.
Amen. But it's a wake-up call to let you know that there are young ones, old ones, youth, elder. It doesn't matter. They still
to this day haven't heard the Word of God. And it just amazes me every time I hear that. And to witness it firsthand just blew my mind. And I just hope and pray that what little bit of scripture we gave her, that who knows, maybe she went home and Googled it on her phone and figured out what it is, and maybe she's going to go to church someday. We don't know. We just pray that we planted a seed. Now God can let it grow, can make it grow.
I thought about that, but I'm kind of
that is a miracle, because about a year, year and a half ago, I remember standing up here testifying that on the campus of West Virginia State, someone had gotten into the 17 kV power with a saw, and he lived. Well, there he is. Don't tell me God doesn't do miracles. Amen.
Thank you.
let the mountains move. We come with expectation, waiting here for you. Waiting here for you. You're the Lord of all creation, and still you know my heart. The author of salvation, you've loved us from the start.
Waiting on him tonight. Amen.
You are everything you've promised. Your faithfulness is true. We're desperate for your presence. All we need is you. Waiting here for you. Hey.
Their vocals have just came from here to here. It's just amazing, and it's actually fun to sing harmony with somebody other than Chris Koontz, because I don't have to be the high part no more.
But it is. It's just wonderful. And we really practice hard, and they do, and I'm gone a lot, and God made a way for me to be here this evening safely. And I drove a long way, and I'm blessed. I can go home right now. I'm good. God done got me good, so it's up to y'all to enjoy the rest of it. What are we singing?
That's all I can hold on to. I've gotta say this has taken me by surprise, but nothing surprises you before a heartache can ever touch my life. It has to go through your hands, and even though I keep asking why, I keep asking
song pick, but I don't know why it is, but I've got to go with what the Spirit tells you, and sometimes he likes to change things up, and there's a song that that she sings called Steady My Heart, and for some reason I just feel that someone is hurting this evening and they need to hear that comfort. Just like you talked about. Talk about the blanket, that comforts. And if he can steady your heart like no one else can, in the troubled waters and the troubled times and the things you go through, he's there. All you got to do is lean on him.
Been a good place to be tonight. I don't usually do this, but we've had some young people step out this week. We've had JR to preach, and we're going to have Jacob. We've had singers. And you know what? It's Friday night, and we have all these teenagers here on a Friday night. That's a blessing in itself, to be in church on Friday night. A lot of things they could be getting into, but they wanted to be here tonight. And I'm going to ask if any teenagers or you know, if you feel led, does anybody have a word of testimony tonight? Don't have to, but just feel led to give that opportunity to somebody. Give an opportunity to grow a little bit. Doesn't have to be much. Bless you, bud.
It's awful to be saved. It's awful to be on that straight and there, not the wide and the broad.
Amen.
At least the destruction where I was. Now I'm on the straight and there. Yeah. I'm thankful I'm saved. And not ashamed of what he's done for me. Yeah. I'm ashamed of where he brought me from, but I'm not ashamed to tell the world where he's taken me to.
Amen. Bless you,
brother.
Amen. Bless you.
A girl called over the CB. She had problems. She said, "I need prayer." Bam, right there, buddy. We went right into it. And, you know, Channel 19 is everywhere. And the Lord spoke seeds everywhere today. And someone else will come to water. And he gives the increase.
Amen.
I'm thankful that he uses me. I'm thankful that I hindered to his voice one day. And a man come by a coal truck asked me to come to church. Yeah.
Amen. Bless you, brother.
It's a miracle. It's a
miracle.
Amen. Because I should have went. I could have went and been gone. I could have been gone, like the brother said about the other brother. I could have been gone, but I'm not. I'm here.
Amen.
I'm
going
to stand on that solid rock and tell the whole world, I'm saved. Woo! And on my way home.
Amen.
I got to get set in love. Woo!
Amen.
It's the heart of the Lord.
Amen. Bless you, brother.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I once was dead, but now I'm alive.
Right.
Once was blind, now I see.
Amen.
I once was deaf, now I hear.
Right.
And I thank God for someone to tell me about John 3:16.
Amen.
You never know the person that you go talk to.
That's right.
And you ask them to go to church.
That's right.
Do you go? Are you a Christian? Do you still run? Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I had a long way to drive today, too, man. 375 miles, and I've got a coal truck. And ain't no way I can make it to church. I told my wife, I said, y'all just go ahead and go. I said, get there early, get your place around. Get there early. And I had to stop at the mall. I had to do this, I had to do that. I had to come home, I got showered, and here I am.
Amen. Bless you, man.
The Lord made the way.
Yeah.
You got desire in your heart.
Yeah.
You
amen. Heart. Bless you, man. Amen.
I lost in high weeds and I come behind a coal truck and ask a sin right to get me.
Bless you.
Come to go to church.
Bless you.
I'm saved, brother.
Amen.
And it's well with my soul.
Amen.
I ain't got 1,000 miles to live. I give it all to him.
Amen.
I ain't got nothing else. He's got me. As I sang that song, thankful you ain't got to worry. You ain't got to look on to me. You look on to him.
Amen.
He's got the whole world to call his hand.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Bless you.
You pick him up, and he'll draw all men to him, right?
Bless him.
Woo! It's good. Praise the Lord. I feel better now.
Amen. Amen.
I feel better. I'll enjoy the rest of the service. Praise God.
Amen. Bless you, brother. Someone else feel better. Someone else feel better.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank God.
Eat one else. Don't sit on it. I love hearing stories like that, about people getting saved. All hearts and minds free. Brother Jacob, come on, bud.
To be a sanctuary. normally what I like to do is, before I get started, I like to introduce myself. A lot of you guys known me. I was born into this church, so you've known me since I was, I don't know, since every one of you could hold me, which I'm sure you did. But for the ones that don't know me, I'm Jacob Parsons. I live right up the road in Kenna. Because of Young Believers, my parents met, and that's why I'm here. And because of a lot of you all, I learned a lot from you guys growing up. And I saw your witness, and I saw how God shone through you through your actions. And, you know, when our dad got the Allen's fork, I don't know, I was a few years old, but we still came around for the longest time. My family, both set of grandparents, they still came here. So I still visited here a lot. And a lot of you guys, I've known you for a long time. You're a little bit younger than me, but I still watched you. And JR, I can remember times whenever we'd play. And I also remember whenever we still called you John Ryan instead of JR. But I can remember times that we played because of the mutual friend or the mutual relationship that our family had, and we used to visit each other's houses. And I never thought that we'd both be preachers at that time. And you never know how God's going to work. But more about me. I go up to WU, transferred up there. I've been through the set of schools, studying petroleum engineering. This week I've had a lot of tests. I'm finishing up. It's the senior year. So I'm constantly studying. And boiling down to tonight, this is the first time it's ever happened to me. But I couldn't get my mind wrapped around anything other than engineering for the week. You know, more importantly than all that, though, all of us are sinners. I'm a sinner. Everybody in here are sinners. And if you said anything different, you'd be wrong and you'd be lying. And that's a sin in itself. But saying that, you know, there's nothing different. There's no difference between me and the lost guy out there at the bar right now. The only difference between me and him is I have the blood applied. And, you know, because of those witnesses, like JJ's story, I can remember whenever JJ first started at our church. And although being younger than him, I watched him grow. And I can remember some of his first testimonies. And something he used to say is, I had flames coming out of my head. And you know, that hit me weird when he first started saying that. But you know, I realize now what he was meaning for that by that. He meant that he had the fire boiling up inside of him so bad that it was just coming out and he couldn't help it. And, you know, it says, as we as Christians should give 110% in serving God. And, you know, I think we lack that because we let too many things come in our lives that get our minds off of God. But, you know, as JJ said that, that truly means to me, you know, he was given everything he had. And because of that, he was being richly blessed. And, you know, it's in the Word. It says that. You know, you put him first and he's going to bless you. And, you know, all that has nothing to do with anything that I'm saying tonight. It's just stuff that's coming out. And, you know, if you want blessed and you want an abundant life and you want to find God and you want to do the things that God wants you to do, you know, you got to stay in the Word, and you got to stay praying, and you got to attend church, because without that, you're going to fall. The big thing with me being out there at school is that I haven't found a church that's like home. It comes out bad, but because of that reason, I don't like going to churches up there, because they just throw me off, and they throw my spirit off, and something that I found a church up there, and me and Michelle have attended it a couple times. But still, at that point, it's structured. And I don't believe churches should be like that. you should let the Holy Spirit flow, and you should allow God to work and not you have a system. And that's something that bothers me. But recently, my own church, Grace, they've been sending me a bunch of CDs, and it helps. It really does. Just by listening to that, one night I was doing thermo and had nothing else to do, so I plugged in a few of those CDs because my thermo homework tends to take 5 to 6 hours just trying to get it done. And while doing the homework, my roommate was gone, but while doing this homework, I got blessed, and I started crying, and then there went the thermo homework. I didn't get it done, but it's good to be blessed in your own apartment. And there's nothing like a home brew that helps you out, because you get used to something and you get used to worshiping the way that you do. And in my opinion, I don't know how you guys feel, but whenever you worship a little bit different than what you are used to, you don't get the same vibe because you don't feel comfortable. And, you know, some of those CDs were just buddies of mine preaching. There's been a lot of young ministers come about, and you know, it was probably 2 weeks ago they sent me some of Dad, and it just helps. And but if you guys don't mind, turn to Romans 5, and I'll be reading verses 6 through 11. And it says, For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man that some should even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, dear God, I just want to thank you just for another time just to be in your house, dear God, just to be preaching your word, dear God. I thank you for allowing me to witness these people and their walk as growing up, and I thank you just because of that, because that has helped me. And you know, if there be a lost soul in the house dear tonight, dear God, just let them come to know you as their personal Savior. I just want to praise you and thank you for everything, and amen. Now, because I couldn't get my mind off that engineering stuff, we're going to talk engineering 101 with God. And for the past couple summers, I have worked with the state building bridges. And because of that, I've learned some things that I can apply not only in my life, but also from the Word. And it kind of gives me a little bit different interpretation as it would you guys. But that's the good thing about the Word. Each one of us is going to interpret differently by the things that we've dealt with in our lives and the things that we've been taught. And, you know, But the first step to building a bridge is you got to get the foundation. That's where it all starts. And one of the big problems that I faced this summer is that I was working on a bridge that we had to. It happened all before I got there, but they had to put fill in, and because they didn't get the compaction right, the fill moved, causing the piers to move, causing everything on the bridge to be thrown off. So they had to start from scratch. Back after having the piers built, I had to tear them down and start all over again. Okay, so as in your Christian walk, you know, your foundation starts whenever you begin church, whenever you first start coming. The things that you see then and the things that people teach you, that's your foundation. You know, it says to set your foundation on the rock. The rock will not move. And that's what you got to get to if you want to stand strong. Because when a structure starts, it's the foundation. Because if the foundation crashes, you got to tear everything down, start it all over again. You can build up, but once you're up, those steps that you took, if something happens at the beginning, you got to tear everything down. Okay. The second step in building a bridge is to build to your supports. The first thing you got to do whenever you're building a support, which in a bridge is your, it's called your abutment, and it's the concrete slab that's at the beginning of the bridge, right where the beams are going to be set and where the most of the forces are going to be. But the first step you got to do there is you drive piling, and that's those big things that make a whole lot of noise. It takes about 600-700, sometimes even more than that, blows, and it makes for a hard, long day of work. But you know, building those supports and getting that down to the rock is also going to be hard on you as a Christian, because you got to throw things out of your life, and you got to focus on what God wants and not what you want. But once you have those abutments built, or once you have all that piling drive, you can build the abutment. And then not only just the abutment, but you also have the pier caps, which are underneath the bridge, which help support the beams as you're going across. And then once you have all that down, you lay those steel beams down. And once those steel beams are down, everything sets all on top of that. Okay? And then once you're done with all those steps, you start on your bridge deck. And the first thing you have to do with a bridge deck is it starts as a structure, and it's all made out of rebar. Thousands and thousands and thousands of bars of rebar. But once you have that rebar done, you lay down a flat layer of concrete across to the top of that rebar, and then you place more concrete on top of that. Okay, and once all that is done, your bridge is basically done, almost. But after you pour your bridge deck, you've got to test it for smoothness, to make sure there's no rough spots, to make sure it doesn't throw your car off whenever you're driving across it. And once you do that, you then work on the approach slabs, which are about, I don't know, probably 50 feet back from the bridge. You tear all that out, and you work on that to make sure not only is your bridge smooth, but the transfer is smooth. Okay? Now, once all that is done, somebody has to have enough faith and enough trust to drive across that bridge. Okay? Because if nobody will drive across it, the bridge is worthless. But from nowadays, it's not that hard because everything's all calculated out. But in the old days, whenever bridges were wooden and with screws and bolts and nails, and it's probably a little bit tougher. But you know, God built a bridge. And it's a bridge that you don't have to worry about, because it's going to stand, and it's not going anywhere. And it was built out of a couple nails and a couple pieces of wood, the cheapest bridge possibly that there could ever be. And it's going to be the strongest. Okay, one thing you got to focus on whenever you're building a bridge, and I don't know who all else is in here, engineers. I know Andrew is, and something they teach you in your engineering 101, or I learned it in high school, is we had to build a bridge out of balsa wood. And whenever you do that, you got to focus on, because it's made out of wood and not steel, you have to focus on your shape, because the shape of the bridge affects how strong it is. Okay, squares are not nearly as strong as triangles. And so whenever you're building all your supports and doing all that, you need one of them as triangles. Triangles, not squares. And you know, God had it all thought out. You know, you got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and that makes a triangle. And that's the strongest thing that you can rely on. He's always going to be there. He ain't going anywhere. And as long as you rely on Him, that bridge is going to stand. You know, something that I was more to all that. You know, that's your only gap between this earthly home and that heavenly home. The way I want to think of it is that, you know, while you're a sinner and while you're doing the things of this world, you know, you're on that one side of that bridge, and you just haven't developed faith, and you haven't got that salvation applied to your life yet, where you can get on the bridge. But as soon as you get saved and as soon as you confess God as your personal Savior, you know you can get on there. And that's the next step. And then once you get to your heavenly home, you know you're on the other side. Earth and heaven and the bridge is your Christian life. You know, it's your Christian walk. And, going along with more of that, I was just thinking about it. And, you know, some things that there's different categories of engineers in the civil stuff where you'd be doing this. And as a civil engineer, you can either be a design guy or you can be a project guy. Me, I like the project stuff. I like to build stuff. I don't like to be in the office. I can't sit still. I'm like Dad. I kind of got a little bit of ADD. I just can't sit still long enough to focus on the stuff that's sitting in front of me, and I got to be working with my hands. And everybody's different. But, you know, the person that thought all this through was God. Yeah. So God becomes your design engineer because he set the plans out, and I was going to bring plans with me tonight for my old projects, but I didn't. And each step is outlined in those plans, the way it should be, links, everything. It's completely the way it's supposed to be done. Okay. Now your other guy's the project engineer. And you know, that's Jesus. He came down and did the work or did the things that needed to be done to get that bridge built. Yeah. And not only did he build that bridge, but he died on that bridge and laid it down so we could cross. You know, the bridge is the cross. Because of that blood slain, and because he was the only one perfect, that allows us to have that access. And you know, I was kind of looking at different kind of lessons for this and stuff, and I actually found this one in a kid's part. And it was saying, you know, the purpose of a bridge is to cross something. And it was giving little kids details, and it was showing you how to show the little kids this stuff. And, you know, the little valley that it was crossing was called the Valley of Sin. And, you know, that is true. You know, you got to, that bridge allows you to get across that and get to heaven. And little kids' terms, but it touched me. And because of those little kids' terms, I mean, it helped me out. But while I was studying today, I was left alone with Elijah for a little bit. And I went downstairs to see it, checked up on him and stuff. And he knew that I was studying today. And he was talking to me. And at first, he asked me who I was studying with. And I said, well, I'm just studying by myself. And he said, well, what are you studying for? And I said, church. And he said, well, I'll be fine. Why don't you just go ahead and go back up there and study? And that's a 5-year-old kid. Yeah. If you lay it out right and you give it to them in their terms, they'll understand that your work is more important than playtime. Not your work, but God's work is more important than playtime. And he's done some things in my life that just small stuff. I remember Dad saying stuff that I used to do when I was little. Yeah. But it says in there, it's in your book, to have a childlike faith. And, you know, I think our adult structure and all the education that we get kind of throws that off because it gives you other things to think about, and it's hard to get back to that childlike faith. But if you have that and you apply it to your life, you know, you'll be a whole lot better Christian than the Christian that says, well, it was a hard day at work. I can just sit down and not go to church tonight. Yeah, that ball game is a little bit more important than revival. Revival, I only need three church services a week. It's fine, no big deal. You know, like I said earlier, you got to give that 100% or 110%. And if you have the opportunity to be in the house and you're not in the house, you're not giving your all. And you got to give your all to make it. And you got to give your all to drive across that bridge. And, you know, potholes are going to form. But you and God, you can fix them. No big deal. It's just a little bump along the road. And you can easily get across it. And just something, because of that, to get on that bridge, like I said earlier, you have to have faith. And you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's also in there. You know, in Romans 12, it gives a lot. It gives the definition. It gives examples of faith that different people looked at. And, you know, something that I was reading through them today, just kind of figuring out, just looking around, just figuring out ways to go with this. And I actually read this before I was even reading, like before the lesson even came through. And the thing I want to think of is Moses. And, you know, once he got to the Red Sea, you know, he had nowhere to go. So I'm sure he started talking with God, and I'm sure he said, God said, well, I'm going to make a way. And he was probably like, you can't build a bridge here. It's too big. But he made a bridge across dry land, you know, just because your bridge doesn't look like a bridge. You know, it doesn't mean it can't help you cross that valley. You know, all of our lives are different. I can only speak for my salvation because of me. It says it's a personal salvation and you need to work it out. I can't judge you off of that. And because something that you might be dealing with, I've never dealt with. And something that might be a sin for you might not be a sin for me because I don't feel the same way. And, you know, and something that I want to focus on in that, if something is an addicting habit for you and God has told you to stop, personally told you to stop, not somebody came up and said, you need to stop this because it's not right. If God has told you to stop, you need to stop because then you were sinning. That's where the habit of sin forms, is that God has told you to do something and you say, no, it'll be fine. It's fine. That guy does it, but it's fine for me. And God, it'll hit you and That's the thing of how all our paths are different. You know, but because of that, because it says that you need to work out your personal salvation, you need to work those things out, and you got to have that communication with God, and you got to feel comfort in yourself that says, okay, I can do that, but I can't be around that. And, you know, something that was like with Dad, he said when he first got saved, that those IBC, IBC, right? Those root beer bottles. He felt that it was a sin for him to buy those because they look like alcohol. And, you know, just because that is something for him, it doesn't apply to my life. And I just feel that way. And I think that we as Christians, something that I've seen a lot, way too much recently, is that Christians want to judge other people on their life. And, you know, you can only personally talk about your life. Don't worry about anybody else's. Don't stray off your path. Don't turn your head and look, see what they're doing. You need to focus on your life and your relationship, and that's all you got to worry about. You know, Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." We can cross that gap, but it takes having the blood applied. And that's the gift of eternal life, is that because of that, we are allowed access to our heavenly home. In the Old Testament, you know, the teachings and the sacrifices led to that bridge being built. And it showed those people why there was the importance of that, the act that had to happen. Because, in my opinion, it was a whole lot harder to live holy back then than it is now. And because you had to do separate different things. It didn't just take having the blood applied and having that personal walk. Because it's pretty easy to just live the life you're supposed to live. You know, and like I told you guys earlier, I'm no perfect man. I'm a sinner, and everybody needs to understand that because you're the same, and you're in the same boat. But because God came and touched me and allowed me access, I can go to that heavenly home. And I can go to visit My grandma, that a lot of you guys know, that died when I was just a little thing. And I'm going to do everything in my power to get there. And because I miss her, and I was small, so I didn't know her that well, but from that very small age, I knew the kind of Christian woman that she was. And the bridge is there, and all you got to do is have faith to get on. You know, as the singers come forward, I don't know if the group is going to sing, or we're just, okay, as the group comes forward, focus on your life. And if God is telling you, you need to go pray about something, or you need that salvation applied because you don't have it and you can't get on that bridge until you can, you need to come running. No matter what it is, if it can be a small thing, it can be a big thing. But if God is telling you to get over whatever it is, or to just pray it for whoever, you need to. Because as Andrea also said earlier, it's a sin if you don't.
It's all about you, Jesus.
all heads bowed, eyes closed. Church, there's people on the altar. Look into your heart to see. Let him in.
You're looking into my heart, into my heart.
Just let him in. It's so simple.
You're looking into my heart, into my heart.
You know, I can't help but think we're not done. I can't help but feel like God's still moving. I don't know about over that way, and I don't know about back there, but I know up here God's still moving. I think God wants somebody to get it. God wants somebody to get it. I don't know that that means you need to get saved or you just need to get more of Him. But I know this. He talked about building a bridge, and I thought, how close are you to that bridge? How close are you to that bridge maker? How close are you to the one who built a bridge? Because you can be as close as you want. You can be as close as you choose to be. But that's a choice you got to make tonight. How much of Him do you want? Paul said that I may know Him more. Do you know Him enough? Do you know Him as much as you want to? Do you want to know more? Well, tonight He says, just come on up and meet with me. I'll give you more. I'll introduce myself more. I'll talk to you more. Tonight, if you're a Christian, but you want to know more about Him, come on up. He's ready to talk. He's ready to give you more. Tonight, if you're not saved, you need to know the builder. You need to know the architect. You need to know the engineer. You need to know Jesus. So as we sing another one, as they sing another one, if God's calling you to come, come. Run. Don't walk. Get here. Because we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised to make it home. But you are promised this, that when you pass away, you'll stand before Christ. What will the answer be? Did you know me or did you not? Tonight, let's get to know Him and get to know Him more. As they sing another one, as they sing another one, come up and meet the maker, the engineer. Right. Which way will you go? Right. So as they sing another one, come. God says come. Amen. Don't wait. Grab somebody or push him out of the way, but get here. Just get here.
The splendor of the King clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice.
trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead, three in one. Who is it? Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the And how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Name above, sing it with us.
Name above all names, for you are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God.
How great.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Last time through.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God.
And how
is our God, and oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Y'all sound so good. Let me hear you.
And how great.
Now sing it one more time to Him. All eyes closed and sing it. How great is our God.
Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Lord has done great things, and we're not even done. Amen.
He's a bridge over troubled
water. Amen.
He's that bridge that will take us home.
Amen.
Paul talked about a storm. He talked about a bridge. Bless God.
Amen.
We're both in the storm, but we've got to stay on the
bridge. Amen. Bless you, Pastor Al. Amen. We're not even finished with revival. We still got time left. We still got tomorrow and Sunday, and we can keep it going. We can keep it going. Jacob talked about having system or having structure, too much structure. We can keep it going. We can keep it going if the Lord leads us. Bless you, Mary. Meredith. Amen. I feel like God's put a big mirror in front of me all week and let me see the stuff that I need to do and the things that I need to be a better person and to be a better Christian. And that's tough. It's tough. If you don't do anything about it, then it's even tougher. But, you know, he just showed me this week, you know, you need to do this. You need to do this more. You need to do this more. You need to be a better person at this, and I thank Him for that.
Jimmy, the greatest engineer is God.
Amen.
He engineered this whole world. Yeah, and this real brief. We'll take about a second. Watching Dumb on TV today. Dumb on TV was showing me how these scientists were trying to make different things, and they were going by, and they were looking at animals, the teeth of piranha, the teeth of sharks, the teeth of rat. How these things continually work together. Engineers, well-educated men, are baffled how these things work, and they continually stay sharp. They're designing things to emulate that, how the jaw structure draws in and all that. And you could see, as they were talking, they were a little bit miffed how it worked, just so excited. And the one guy was getting excited. He said, it's a perfect 45-degree angle. And I'm sitting there, I'm going, yes, he is.
Amen. Amen.
And you can just see that the engineers, as smart as they got a little thing about it. But they were trying to wrap their mind.
Amen.
Didn't wrap it around because they didn't know God. I was sitting there watching it, and I was like, praise the Lord.
Amen.
He made things perfect.
Amen. Bless you, Tim. Amen. Said He came into the world, and the world knew Him not. It said He came in the darkness, and the darkness did not recognize the light. Anyone else? Anyone else?
I read about that engineer, but I went to a different place. In the beginning, God.
Amen. Amen.
He started
with God. Amen. Bless you, Pastor Al. Amen.
Right.
And he spent so much time last night encouraging me to persevere.
Amen. Bless you, Dana. Amen. Anyone else? Brother Mark's going to be bringing a message tomorrow night. And who's the singer's role?
Undone.
Undone. Undone.
Good night, miss.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. Anyone else? Okay. If not, we'll go ahead and dismiss as we are.